and welcome to the 9 to 5 Nutrition Podcast. I am Joe Johnson. This is episode 3. And today we are going to be talking about false dichotomies in fitness and nutrition. So a false dichotomy is a situation that someone might fabricate in their own mind where they think they need to be at one end of the scale or the other. And this can apply to lots of different aspects of their life. So let's start off looking at a few non-training slash nutrition examples just to set the scene for what a false dichotomy really is. So let's look at money, for example. So with money, you might have the two end of the scales might be someone that's got a save mentality and someone that's got a spend mentality. So on one end of the scale, the saver might think that they want to save all their money for whatever it is, or maybe for no particular reason, they just think saving is the right thing to do. But in that case, what happens is, you know, they won't spend any money on, for example, going out with their friends and family for dinner or drinks. They won't spend any money on holidays. They won't spend any money on nice clothes. So essentially, they're robbing themselves of having a life. Then on the other end of the scale, you've got the person with the spend mentality, who might think that there's no point in saving. Life's for living. Spend all of the money that I've got because I might get hit by a bus tomorrow, which is fair enough if you think like that. But the problem with that mentality on the other end of the scale is that when the day does come that they want to make a big purchase, whether that's a new car or deposit on a new car or deposit on a house or a big holiday or something like that, or they get fired from their job and, you know, they need a buffer of savings just to get them through and pay the bills, they're not going to have that. So you can see that both ends of the scale have their issues. And actually, probably the right way for most people to live is to be somewhere in the middle. Yes, you might have some people that are a bit more skewed one way or the other, but generally for most people, the right thing to do is going to be somewhere in the middle. So spend a bit of the money that you have, enjoying life, doing whatever you like to do, and also save a bit as well for the future. The thing is, there aren't a lot of people that take that middle ground. Most people either will create a situation for themselves where they either see themselves as a spender or a saver. And they might go for their life spending periods of time as a spender or as a saver, and they might keep flip-flopping between the two extremes. So that's what a false dichotomy is. Now, why do I want to talk about false dichotomies? The main reason is off the back of the last episode that I did, which was around the Game Changers documentary on Netflix, which is essentially a piece of propaganda for veganism. So just very quickly, the documentary is about vegan athletes and essentially is heavily promoting veganism and saying that, you know, you don't need a meat in your diet to be a high performer in terms of sports, or you don't need meat to build muscle and that sort of thing. And what it does is it leads people down this path to thinking in terms of false dichotomies. So, you know, if I want to be this successful, if I want to excel in my sport or build muscle, I need to be a vegan as well. And that's definitely not true. In fact, there are much stronger reasons to not be vegan if you want to maximize your sports performance or your muscle mass than to be vegan, despite what this documentary claims. But on the other end of the scale, you've got the carnivore diet or the carnivorous diet, whatever you want to call it, which is essentially just meat and nothing else. So no dairy products, no vegetables, no fruit, no nuts, nothing like that. It's purely meat. Now, is that any better than a vegan diet? Probably not. It's, for me, it's no better and it's no worse. But what is similar to a carnivorous diet and a vegan diet is that they're both not optimal for most of the goals that people within nutrition or fitness are going to have. So let's take a quick look at those different goals that you might have and why each of these diets isn't optimal. So let's look at weight loss first, because that's probably the most popular goal that most people have. So why is a vegan diet not optimal for weight loss? Well, the main thing that's going to make a weight loss diet or a period of intentional weight loss successful is adherence, i.e. that you can stick to a diet for a long enough period of time to achieve your goal weight, whatever that is. Now, if you decide that you want to do that by employing a vegan diet and you really like steak, then that's potentially going to run you into some problems, because it's very difficult to adhere to a diet that completely cuts out a food group that you really enjoy. So I know that if I, not that I would ever do this, but if I went on a diet and completely cut out steak or meat altogether, I would really struggle on that, because I like eating steak. And therefore, the diet would be difficult for me to adhere to. And if you can't adhere to a diet, then the diet isn't going to achieve the goal, which is weight loss, or as much weight loss as you'd set out to achieve. So that's a vegan diet. So why is a carnivore diet not optimal for weight loss? Well, because one of the struggles for most people when dieting is keeping themselves feeling full. Now, vegetables really come into their own when you're dieting, because you can eat a lot of food. And when I say a lot of food, I mean in terms of the weight of food. So you can eat, let's say, 100 grams of broccoli or whatever, and that's not going to be very many calories at all, but it's going to take up a lot of space in your stomach, which is good, because that will make you feel full, which in turn will stop you eating foods that are much higher in calories than vegetables. So vegetables are really useful in a weight loss diet for that reason. Now, if you've completely cut them out because you're saying that you're a carnivore or that you're on a carnivorous diet, then you lose that benefit of eating vegetables. So there are two clear examples of why neither approach is optimal for the goal that I've specified there, which is weight loss. There are some other reasons. So, for example, with a vegan diet, it might be very difficult to maintain the muscle mass that you've got, because it's difficult to get in high quality proteins on a vegan diet. And I think for most people, at least maintaining their muscle mass should be a goal, even when losing weight, because it's going to make you look better at the end of the diet if you can maintain as much muscle as possible. And another problem with a carnivorous diet is that by completely cutting out fruit and vegetables, you are going to be lacking in some of the key vitamins and minerals that are only available through those foods, which is going to impact your overall health, which is going to impact your goal, whatever that is, whether it's losing weight or building muscle. So what's the answer then? Well, for most people, and emphasis on most there might be a few people out there that would work, that where a vegan diet or a carnivorous diet might work best for them. But I think realistically, those people are going to be few and far between. But for most people, the answer is having a balanced diet. So a diet that includes meat and vegetables and starchy carbs and fats and fruit and a wide spectrum of food sources. And you will simply tailor the daily calories to your needs. So if your goal is weight loss, you should be eating all of those foods, but at a calorie amount that is, in theory, going to produce weight loss. If your goal is to build muscle, then you should be eating all those foods, but within a calorie amount that's going to facilitate building muscle. And obviously, protein is a key consideration there as well. So what's another false dichotomy within training and nutrition? So let's look at a training one. So something that I see quite a lot and actually something that I kind of got caught up in a while ago was the belief that in order to build muscle, you really needed to focus on strength in the gym. So when I say strength, I mean focusing on the amount of weight that you can lift for a given rep range. So generally for strength, that's going to be between the sort of 1 to 5 rep range. And I really believed that was the only way to build muscle, was to get stronger, because how could you possibly stay the same size or not gain muscle if you were getting stronger over time? Now, the other end of the scale is people that believe that if their goal is to build muscle, then they should only be working in the quote-unquote hypertrophy range, which most people believe to be around the kind of 8 to 12 rep range. And there are a lot of studies out there that say that that is the best, the optimal range for inducing hypertrophy. But at the same time, it does still pay to get strong if you want to build muscle. And the reason for that is that although being able to lift heavier weights within the 1 to 5 rep range might not directly help to induce hypertrophy, what it could do is allow you to lift heavier weights in the 8 to 12 rep range. So let's just take a really simple example and look at bench press. So let's say you could bench press 100 kilograms for 8 reps. And that's you fail on 8 reps. You can't do any more. Now, what you could do to increase the volume there is you could do another set. But obviously, that means spending more time in the gym. Another way to do it is you could get stronger. So if you can increase the amount of weight you can bench for 1 to 5 reps, then in theory, you potentially can lift a bit more weight in the 8 to 12 rep range. And what that means is that you can do more volume without doing another set and increasing your time in the gym. So rather than benching 100 kilos for 8 reps, you might be able to bench 105 or 110 for 8 reps if you can increase your strength. So again, let's take a goal and look at the negatives of each approach. So let's say our goal is to build muscle. So say we want to build Or say we want to aim for 5 kilograms of muscle in a year. That's probably quite a lot for someone that's natural, but let's say that's the goal. So what's the problem with taking a purely strength-based approach? Well, it's pretty simple, really. If you're not working in that optimal hypertrophy range of 8 to 12 reps, then you're not going to maximize your growth potential, because you're not going to be working in the hypertrophy range. So that's the negative with that approach. What's the negative with the other approach? So purely working in the 8 to 12 rep range. Well, if you only work in that range and you hit a ceiling in terms of the amount of weight that you can lift for a given number of reps, there's nowhere really to go from that in terms of progression, in terms of increasing your volume load, if you don't do any strength work. So what's the answer? Well, surprise, surprise, again, it's taking a balanced approach and using both strategies to achieve your goal in the easiest and quickest possible way. So what are some examples of how you can do that by combining strength training and hypertrophy training? Well, I'll give you a couple. So the first one is you can use different what you might call mesocycles, or kind of training blocks. So let's say, for example, you might take an 8-week period where you just focus on strength. So you might take 4 lifts, let's say bench press, squat, deadlift, overhead press, and you work on your strength. So you work on increasing the amount of reps that you can do with a given weight or keeping the reps the same and increasing the weight within that strength range. That's 1 to 5 reps. And then you move on to a hypertrophy cycle for 8 weeks, where you focus on the hypertrophy range. And the theory being that when you come to that hypertrophy range, you'll be able to lift a little bit more than you could before for the same reps, or lift the same weight that you could for more reps because you've got stronger. So that's one way to implement the strategy. Another way is to use a training strategy called DUP, or daily undulating periodization, which sounds really complicated, but it's not at all. So it's essentially doing the same thing, but within an acute period of time. So one of your training sessions in the week, or let's say you train 4 times a week. So you might have 2 hypertrophy sessions and 2 strength sessions. So in the 2 strength sessions, you'll focus on obviously your strength work, 1 to 5 reps. And in the hypertrophy sessions, you'll focus on your 8 to 12 rep range, and you try and increase both kind of alongside each other. And in theory, the two approaches or strategies will be mutually beneficial. I mean, in theory, you would see strength and size start to creep up alongside each other, providing that you've got other variables in place as well. So you're eating enough calories, so you've got enough energy to execute these sessions, and you're eating enough protein to support muscle growth, and you're getting enough sleep, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so let's look at one more. So let's go back to nutrition, and let's look at a prevalent debate, I guess, in nutrition, and that is clean eating versus if it fits your macros. So if you're not familiar, clean eating is essentially a nutrition strategy whereby you restrict yourself to only quote unquote clean food sources. So what people generally mean, or what they think they mean when they say that, is unprocessed, again, quote unquote natural food sources. So just plants and meat that hasn't been kind of like tampered with or processed, and starchy carbohydrates that again haven't been tampered with or don't have any additional ingredients. So it really is kind of single ingredient food. And if it fits your macros is a style of dieting whereby you can essentially eat whatever you want, as long as you're hitting your target calories and your target carbohydrates and protein and fat. So if you were to eat a diet that purely consisted of ice cream, cakes, cookies, whatever you want, obviously if you only eat that stuff, you're going to have probably protein shakes as well to hit your protein. But that's essentially what If It Fits Your Macros is. Eat whatever the hell you want. Don't pay any attention to food quality as long as you're hitting your calories and your macros. So as we've done with the other two examples, let's put a goal in place and look at the reasons why each approach would or wouldn't work. So again, let's just say the goal is weight loss. So clean eating, why would it work? Well, if you're currently in a diet that's full of heavily processed, highly palatable, high-calorie foods, like what I just mentioned with the If It Fits Your Macros diet, so cakes, ice creams, crisps, chocolates, that sort of thing, and you switch to a diet where you're only eating single-ingredient foods, so fresh veg and meat, carbohydrates, then it's pretty likely that you're going to lose weight because the foods that you're eating aren't going to be as calorie dense. They're going to be more filling. So subconsciously, you will eat less. So that's why clean eating might work for that goal. If it fits your macros, that probably will work as long as you've got your macro and calorie targets correct, because in order to achieve weight loss, you need to be in a calorie deficit. So regardless of what you're eating, as long as you've got your calories right, as long as you're burning more calories each day than you take in, then that diet's going to work. So both approaches can work. So what are the reasons why each of those approaches might not work? Well, with clean eating, although it's likely that if you switch from a diet of heavily processed, you know, refined, highly palatable foods to one that is just fresh veg and meat and fish and etc., it's likely that you're going to be eating less, but there's no guarantee. So actually, you could quite easily end up eating more calories on a quote-unquote clean diet than you would on if you were just eating what the hell you wanted. And the reason for that is because there are lots of quote-unquote clean foods out there that are very high in calories. So nuts, for example, you can buy a packet of nuts. They're, unprocessed, single ingredient food, but they contain a hell of a lot of calories. Same with oily fish. So yeah, oily fish, really good for you, really healthy in theory. It's got, healthy fish. Oily fish has lots of omega-3s and generally a fair amount of protein. Sorry, that was Siri just going off there. But they also contain a lot of calories. So if you say, right, I'm going to switch off my normal diet and start eating loads of oily fish because it's good for you and loads of nuts and red meat as well, you could easily end up eating more calories than you were before. So with a clean eating approach, there's no guarantee that you're going to be eating the right amount of calories that you need to lose weight. And what about, and if it fits your macros diet, what's wrong with that? Well, assuming that it's a diet that's full of quote-unquote crap or junk food, it's going to be really hard to stick to, because let's say your target calories for weight loss are 2,000. It's really easy to get to that 2,000 calories with, junk, highly processed junk food. Just as it is with clean foods as well. The problem is, with heavily processed foods, they're potentially not going to fill you up as much. So you might hit your 2,000 calories for the day and you'll still be hungry. Now, if you can get over if you've got the willpower to handle that and persevere with it and not let it affect you, then you will lose weight, providing, 2,000 calories is the right amount of calories for you to be in a deficit. But going back to adherence, if you can't stick to it, then there's no point, because, after you've eaten your 2,000 calories of cake and biscuits and chocolate or whatever it is, you're still going to be hungry. You're going to be wanting more of that food, or you're going to be wanting some quote-unquote clean food. The other problem is that you're going to miss out on key vitamins and minerals that are in fresh meat and fish and vegetables, which won't be optimal for your health. So what's the answer? Well, as with before, the answer is an approach that's somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. And that is a diet that's calorie controlled, because I think for most people, having a calorie target is really helpful, as long as you're prepared to count your calories consistently. And having the freedom to be able to have whatever your favorite food is, whether that's pizza or cake or chocolate, whatever it is going to be really motivating on a diet, because it means you don't have to restrict yourself to eating stuff you don't necessarily enjoy that much. But even with that in mind, that a calorie target is good, you should still eat some what you might call clean food. And the reason for that is for the reasons that I've just given. It's potentially more filling. It's gonna quote unquote clean foods that are going to contain the vitamins and minerals that you need to maintain your health. But, you know, if you are tight on your calories and your calorie target is quite low, then you might want to skip stuff like the nuts and the oily fish and the nut butters and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's just another example of why a balanced middle ground type approach is better than either of the two extremes. So there are three examples there, but fitness and nutrition is full of these false dichotomies and these spectrums that kind of people create where they think they have to be at one end or the other, and it's just not true. And I think the reason for that is that, number one, it gives people a kind of an easy way out. So if you've got a goal, whether that's muscle building or weight loss or improving your sports performance, all those can be quite complex goals, and it involves a lot of planning and in a lot of cases, doing the maths or the math. But what these false dichotomies give people is a kind of easy way out. So if you just say that, oh, well, to lose weight, the best approach is veganism, then that makes it really easy for people because they don't, all they have to do is just eat vegetables and not eat meat or dairy anymore. Not that that's an easy thing to do for a lot of people, but in your head, it's an easy thing to do. You know, you don't have to try and calculate your maintenance calories and track your calories every day and track your activity and track your weight. All you have to do is just only eat plant-based foods. But of course, that doesn't work for a lot of people because of the reasons that I've gone over. I think another reason is that people love to be part of what I would call a tribe. So saying that you're vegan makes you part of that exclusive kind of vegan club. And it's almost becomes part of your identity. So, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of people that are vegan really like to tell people that they're vegan. So, yeah, it's like being part of an exclusive club and they can brand themselves as a vegan. And what people get out of that, I don't really know. But the fact is that just being vegan and saying vegan isn't necessarily going to help you achieve your goal. So when you see the media pushing a certain agenda, and when I say the media, that could be a Netflix documentary or it could be your favorite influencer on Instagram, just be aware that there's probably a reason behind the fact that they're pushing that. They're either trying to impose an ideology or they're potentially trying to sell you something. So just be really aware of that when you see people saying that an extreme strategy is the only way to go and the way you should do it, because most of the time that's definitely not the case. We'll be right back.